Take your Bibles tonight, please, and go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. This great record in God's Word that I want to share as a foundational scripture on which I'd like to build something with you tonight is so singularly significant because it is so apropos to our day and to our time. Verse 27 of chapter 1. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This was the record that God directed Paul to send to the Philippians because they had committed some practical error and he was just straightening it out for them. And the walk that is the walk of unity, the walk of one mind, has to be a walk that's just done day after day and moment after moment and week after week. Every one of the hymns that was utilized in the early part of the service, I chose deliberately because I knew where I was going and where I wanted to go. I wanted to show our people again that if the greatness of God's Word is to live in our day and in our time, we have to stand together in that household with one mind in the unity of Christ Jesus. You can't be flitting around from one little old group here, there, and yonder and expect the greatness of God's Word to move in our lifetime. Paul knew this. What had occurred among the Philippians at the time, they said, well, that's a wonderful gospel. We'll do it over here. We'll do it over there. And one little group will do their trip. Another little group will do theirs because it's the same gospel we're doing. Paul said to them by divine revelation, he said that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith, which is the faith of Jesus Christ, the gospel of faith. That's that good news of that wonderful faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This unity is that one body. It is the household of God. It's the family of faith that the Word of God speaks about. I use a phrase many times all over the country, I guess, among our people. You've heard me use it. I'm sure you have if you've been around any length of time, where I simply will come up at times and I may say, well, God bless you. I love you. You're the best. And I keep right on walking. Few of you, I'm sure, have heard it. Many times people think this is just a flippant thing with me, but it isn't. To me, it is exactly what I mean, and I mean what I say. God bless, I love you, and you're the best. That's the unity. That's that one body. That's that one mind that you and I must have if we're going to move the integrity and the greatness of God's Word among God's people. All of us here at International that are on the staff, research and working in research and this kind of thing when it comes to the Word of God, I think all of us are absolutely convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that the greatness of God's Word, as it was given in the first century, had pretty well washed itself out by 110 A.D. And there has been no greatness of God's word available to the people in any great amount since that day. Then you have a right to say, well, how's come the Christian church then is so voluminous or has been so tremendous through the years? That's an honest question. I think it deserves an honest answer. The honest answer is, far as I understand history and the greatness of the word, is that the only reason Christianity, so-called, has taken over sections of the world and promulgated itself and moved across sections of the world is because the nations that adopted it had the power structure, they had the money, and they had the influence to make it live, as they called it. Because in the early days, now early, I'm back at 325 AD, that's not so early, but at 325 AD, if you didn't become a Christian, you got your head chopped off many times. And this is one of the reasons why this so-called, quote, Christian, end of quote, has always carried the physical sword. Because the nations had the power, they had the money, they had the influence, and therefore they went everywhere, not with the greatness of the love of God in the renewed mind, one spirit, but look, we're Christian. We got the power. We got the money. Look how God's blessed us. Therefore, you better be Christian. If you don't, you get it. So, it got to be a form. And in order to show its bigness, we built buildings, cathedrals. Understand, they've worked on one now for 1,200 years or 1,000 years and still isn't finished. The Bible says God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. You see, there's never been a great teaching of the word, never a great teaching of the word. We have impressed people with buildings or other material things, or that, you know, I got the money, I got the power kind of trip, rather than letting the greatness of God's word live in manifestation. In the 10:30 session this morning, I showed our people again from God's word that in the early church, whenever somebody was born again, they immediately spoke in tongues. Immediately. Today, there are some people that if they hear about you speaking in tongues, they think you're going straight to hell. That's right. And yet in the early church, whenever somebody was born again, they spoke in tongues. And this occurred all through that early days of the church until about 90 AD. And then it started waning, because they got away from God's word. When those men died, when Paul died, when John, the one who wrote the book of Revelation, passed away. The apostles were gone, and the little groups, the splinter groups, grew here, there, and yonder. And then they lost the greatness of the word, and it got to be, you know, in an area, the church at Rome, the church at Babylon, the church in Antioch, the church here, there, and yonder. So, when God directed the apostle to send this word to the church of the Philippians, he had to do to them what he did to the church in Corinth. Give them a little reproof and correction, which is instruction in righteousness. Because all God's word is God-breathed, and all of it's profitable for doctrine, which is right believing, or reproof, reproving us where we believe wrongly, and correcting us so we can get back on the ball for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. This was a reproof and a correction for this church in Corinth, because they were not walking in that one mind, in the unity of that one spirit. And he said, he wrote to them with many tears. I mean, it hurt him to have to write it. And he wrote it not that they should grieve about it, but that they might know, not question, but they might know the love which he had more abundantly unto them, else he wouldn't have written them. You see, the one body, that household of God, the family of faith, the greatest thing that has to be there to keep that unity going is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. In John 3:16, and you don't have to look this enough, I hope, it says, for God so what? Who loved? God loved. For God, that's the emphasis, for God so loved. The secondary emphasis is that he gave. God loved. God loved. God loved. That he gave. All true love always has giving in it. You know, in the epistle, the first epistle of John, chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God so loved that he gave. I'm a Christian born again of God's Spirit, not by good works, but by grace. I am his because he is worthy, and not because I was worthy. Because he saved me when I was dead in trespasses and sins, without God and without hope. Ladies and gentlemen, that's love. And if God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, and I behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. To bestow is to lay it on a fellow. It isn't that he earns it and then you hand it to him. It's unmerited grace and favor. Can I do less for the body of believers than to love? If God loved, he bestowed such love upon me that we should be called what? The sons of God. That beautiful? What love? Therefore, the world knoweth us not. I wonder how long we're going to have to live to figure that one out. It is so simple that most people go a lifetime and never get around to the great reality of the truth of it. They're still looking some way, somehow or other, to get the world to say, yes, isn't that wonderful? It just plainly says, the world knoweth us what? So do you think the world's ever going to back you up? If you do, God's got to rewrite his word. And I'll bet he's not going to do it. Because God knows. And you know it too, that there are only two powers in this whole world. They're both spiritual. One is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other, God, is the adversary, the devil. And everything is either of the one God or the other. There can't be a both. The world knoweth us not. The world's not going to back this ministry. The world's not going to stand with us. Seems like people get so impressed with names, you know. If the right reverend said so, or Dr. So-and-so said so, or some politician said so, or some banker said so, unless those people say what the Word says, they're in the opposite corner. Right. God does not need the world to back up His Word. The Word stands by itself. The world never backs that Word. They will use your life a little bit if they can to bring themselves more worldliness. It's a real temptation in the life of a man that the adversary keeps throwing at you at times, where you can, for instance, go and meet with a certain group of senators or representatives, and Satan tells you, man, if you got those fellows really walking, the Word would live. I got to read that in the book. Haven't read it. But you see, it's a real temptation. So unless you're walking in alignment and harmony, get caught in that stuff. I wouldn't mind teaching the Word to a few senators, but not because they're senators, but because they need God's Word. That's the reason for it. You don't put your confidence in the world and in what is called worldly leaders. My Bible says you pray for them. It doesn't say put your confidence in them. I think it says that, doesn't it? Bless God, why don't we just believe the Word? There is no governor that's going to make this Word of God live, unless the Word of God lives in the governor. That's true. But I mean, just from a professional point of view, no governor, no doctor, no lawyer, no banker, no preacher, nobody except the Word lives in them, honey. The Word. And when they walk on that Word, then that unity is there, and they stay put in that household. It says, beloved, in verse 2, it says, beloved, now are we what? Right. Right now we're sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Well, praise God. For that kind of love, sir, we ought to stand in the unity of that one mind, that one purpose to move God's Word in our day and time. Look at chapter 4, bless your heart. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. So it says, how long do you waver between two opinions? If you ever want to stand in the unity and with that one mind, this is a biggie. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is what? You know what it says? Well, that's what it means. God's Word stands, not man's opinion. The one who says that, what's it say about that man? God does what? Dwelleth in him. And that man who says that, he is where? All right, there you got both of them. God in the man and the man in God. And anybody says the opposite, it's got to be off the ball someplace. Either that or God's Word is wrong. So why don't people quit arguing with God? Why don't just believe God's Word? I don't know. It's a bunch of baloney. Look at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein, verse 17, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. Because as he is, so are we in this what? That we may have what? As he is, so are we. Now, he either lied or he told the truth, people. As he is, so are we. The world will say to you, oh, that can't be. The old adversary will say to you, you're not that good. You just can't be that successful. They'll say to you, well, that's an ego trip. You need a psychiatrist. I don't think so. I think they need the psychiatrist. And they can have them, because they ain't got any answer unless they got the word. Outside of the word, people, there's just no answer. As he is, so are we in this world. That's that one body, that unity, that family, that household, the family of faith. There is no fear in what? But perfect love casts out what? Right. Verse 19, we love him because he first what? Loved us. That's why we love. And this love is not that smother kind or, you know, sloppy kind where you slop all over people with it. No. It's the genuine love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit to renew your mind on, and you just walk with that love. That love has reproof in it. Correction, which is instruction in righteousness, like Paul did to the Philippians and over in Corinth. Every tree that's a fruit-bearing tree has its value because of the fruit it bears. Not just how pretty or decorative it could be, but the fruit it produces. And God expects his people in the unity of that one mind to produce fruit. And you can't produce good fruit if the good qualities are lacking. You see, one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is what? Love. The manifestations of the Spirit produce the fruit. So until we see the manifestations, you can't have the good quality of the fruit. When Reverend and Mrs. Townsend came in from New York a week ago today, Reverend and Mrs. Townsend had brought with her a copy of the tape of her teaching at the Women's Advance in New York. She gave it to me and asked me if I would take the time to analyze it and to criticize it, as she said, which means constructive recommendations on how to do it better. And I said, well, I'll think about it. And I did. But I did have an opportunity to listen to it. And I was just tremendously blessed with what I heard. Because if this kind of teaching that she was doing, and if the rest of our women across the country and their women's advances are teaching the word as great as that, which I'm sure they're doing, I want to tell you, God must be building some of the greatest women the world has ever seen since the first century. And Mrs. Townsend was talking about how the Christians just don't come to God's word. How that they're always flipping out on it, one way or the other. She used much better terminology than flipping out, but still Naomi. How the world is a lie, the word of God is truth. She said, everything the world says, you just do the opposite of, and you're basically on God's word. That's right. See? She said, how did we learn to have all these fears? The reason we learned it is because somebody taught us to be afraid. You know. Right. I guess they say there are only two natural things that the human body is so made, and this is a preservation type of fear. One is the one of falling, and the other loud noise. Well, most of us have had a few more than that. Well, how did we get them? We were taught. We were taught. I was taught silly little things like if a black cat walks in front of you, that means bad luck. If you walk underneath a ladder, that's bad luck. If you sit on cement, you have hemorrhoids. Those are a few that I was taught. So you don't sit on this cement, you lie down on your side or something. It can't affect you. We learn to fear. Yet the Bible says that perfect love casts out what? You see, the world has absolutely no control over us. The reason it controls us is because we've allowed it to control us. Because what the world says is absolutely contrary to what God says in His Word. Why are people full of fear? Look, it said a while ago, as He is, so are we in this what? Why then are people full of fear? Somebody must have taught them the wrong stuff, right? Why are you so worried? Somebody must have taught us wrongly. Why, you know, so many anxieties? Somebody must have taught us this. Why so much bitterness among the born-again believers? Why so much gossiping among the believers? Why so much criticism? You see, these are all poisons to the human mind. And we are to be of one mind, and that one mind is the mind of the Word. The mind of Christ, the Word says. Transformed by the renewing of your what? Mind. How can people be so unforgiving when God so loved that He gave and He claimed us, whereas in Ephesians it says He rescued us out from among? Just when we were ready to fall over the precipice to be killed, He rescued us, snatched us. People so full of guilt, born again of God's Spirit and yet full of guilt. Born of God's Spirit and yet live under condemnation. When the Word of God says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Then why do we live in that guilt? Why do we live with that condemnation? Because somebody taught it to us. And ladies and gentlemen, that's opposite of the Word. It's not what the Word says. You know, the two great commandments, Jesus Christ reduced the whole mess to two, you know. And He stated them, they're stated in Matthew, 22nd chapter, 37th verse, and following. Thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God. Love God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your what? Neighbor as yourself. Now, how in the world can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? It says you love your neighbor as you do what? It's got to start with you, honey. Got to start with you, sir. It's got to start with me. If I don't love myself, how can I love my neighbor? And most people don't love themselves. They think they're stinky or something. And I don't mean Chanel number 5. Right. Because all their lifetime, They're living like in the shadow of death, full of fear, worry, anxiety, frustration, guilt, condemnation. Just the opposite of what the Word says we have when we're born again of God's Spirit. Look, the first thing you do is love God. Secondly, you love yourself. And thirdly, you love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? The Bible says we got to be especially good to the household of what? That's the neighbor. So stay put for a while. Don't always think, well, it's wonderful to love so-and-so up there whom I haven't seen. Because if you can't love the people you have seen, how are you going to love those birds that are out there you've never seen? Something like that in the scripture, only it stayed a little more accurately about God. But it's true. You see, that unity of that one body has to be there because of the greatness of that love of God in the renewed mind. In Colossians, you see, boy, I want to tell you, it's a wonderful word of God and a wonderful walk with God. What did I say? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 4, and then I go to verse 8. Because verses 5, 6, and 7 are a parenthesis. They should be that in your Bible. They aren't. Why don't you just mark them? Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, who is my life? Not the company that has an umbrella. Right. Not that insurance company is not my life. Who is my life? Now look, it's as simple as that. Do you believe God's word or don't you? You're never going to have that unity of that one body, that household of God, that family of faith until we get the word and say what the word says. Christ is our one. Okay, then I don't get life from those other sources that the world would have me to believe that are capable of giving me everything, right? I get my life from whom? That's what it says. That's what it means. Shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in what? But now, verse 8, you see, he hasn't what yet? Appeared, right? But now, you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off what? The old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, have put him on up here in the mind. And we have that unity, that one mind. Striving together for that gospel with that one mind, which is the mind of Christ, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that what? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is what? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, put it on. Holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of what? Meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and doing what? But I don't want to. The Lord said, do it. See, it's not a question of whether I want to. It's the Word of God. And if I say I'm a Christian and I want to be in that household and stay in that unity of that one mind and of that body, I've got to do what the Word says. Not a question of whether I want to. It's a question, God says, do it. What are you about? Do it. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, Even as Christ forgave you, so also do what? You see how simple the word is and how sharp it is? You can't have any difficulty with this if you make up your mind to go the way of the word. But it's because we want to play the word and the world against each other. And we want to keep the people of the world happy and try to keep God happy. We get in the soup. Can't do it, honey. It's either God's word and we walk on it, or we go the way of the world. And above all, verse 14, these things, put on charity, which is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, which is the bond, the cohesive, the binding element. It is that which binds together, the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your what? To the which also you're called in one body, and be ye what?
That's right.
Maybe 1 Corinthians 13 speaks rather loudly. Or is it just words? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, talking about speaking in tongues, and have not the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, sure, I'm a Christian, but I'm not in that household, in that one body, really walking with that one mind, the mind of Christ. Because I am become as sounding brass or just a tingling old what? Cymbal. And though I have prophecy, you know, I prophesy here on Sunday night the way headquarters, and understand all the mysteries that have been made known in God's word, including the church, the body, and all knowledge operate that wonderful word of knowledge. And though I have all believing or faith, believing, the manifestation, you know, so that I could even remove a what? Yeah. But if I do not have the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, I am what? I am what? And nothing means nothing. Don't need a concordance to understand that or a dictionary. Sounding brass or a tingling what? Kids today would say you're just blowing hot air. You're all talk. Second verse says, I am nothing. Verse 3 is beautiful. And though I bestow all my income, all of my goods, to feed the poor, and even though I would give my body to be burned, I'd burn out my body, just bleed my heart out for the teaching of God's word, rightly divided. Couldn't be rightly divided if I didn't have the last part. Have not the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation, it was. Profits mean nothing. The love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation suffereth what? It's kind. The love of God in the renewed mind envieth not. The love of God in the renewed mind vaunteth not itself. It is not rash or brash, like kind of thing. It's not puffed up. It's not an ego trip. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her what? About everything in here, the world does just the opposite. You know that? The world seeketh its what? It behaves itself unseemly. Just the opposite. That last part of verse 5 is that real heavy. Thinketh no what? That's the love of God in the renewed mind. In that one body, that unity that must be there if the word's to move. Thinketh Noah. Have you blown this one today? Rejoices not in what? But rejoices. It gets real happy in the what? Truth. Beareth all things that the word of God says you're to bear, else it is not renewed mind. Believeth all things that the word of God says you believe. Hopeth all things that the word of God says you're to hope for. Endureth all things that the word of God says you have to endure. The love of God in the renewed mind never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they're going to quit, fail. Speaking in tongues, what's going to happen to it? Cease. Word of knowledge, what's going to happen to it? It's going to vanish away. It's going to fail too. For with all of the greatness of what God has given, we still know in part only. And we prophesy what? In part. But, praise God, verse 10. When that which is perfect is come, and that's the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we shall be like he is, for we shall, you know, see him, then that which is in part shall be what? When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what? For now, we see like through a glass or in a mirror darkly. But then, when Christ returns, what? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am what? And now, right now, abideth. Faith, hope, charity, which is the love of God and the renewed mind in manifestation. These three, but the greatest of these is the love of God in the renewed mind in what? Manifestation. What a tremendous reality. In 2 Corinthians, there's a record here in the 13th chapter that I'd just like to share with you before I close. Remember, the Corinthians were like the Philippians. They were in practical error, and God gave this word to them of reproof and correction to bring them back on the ball. And in the 13th chapter, after the whole record to the Corinthians has been given by God, the final word is in verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be what? Be of good comfort. Be of one what? Mind. One mind. One mind. Live in what? Peace. And doing that, the God of love and peace shall be one with you. And unless we do that, the God of love and peace cannot abide on the people. Because the people have walked away from God. That's why he wrote them that great record by divine revelation. That's why the word of God is God breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. And all scripture is profitable for right believing, for reproof, and for correction. That we may be instructed in the perfect will of God. Be perfect. Have that same mind which was in Christ Jesus. And that mind of Christ gets rid of fear and worry and anxiety and frustration and guilt and condemnation and criticism and bitterness and fault finding, backbiting. All of that is gone when we walk according to the revelation of his word and just carry out what the word says. For ladies and gentlemen, if God so loved that he gave what you and I have according to the word in Christ Jesus, can you and I do less than to love the brethren
And be especially good to the household of God, the household of faith. Not if we want to see the word live. Father, thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercy. Thank you for your blessing upon our lives. And again, Father, for giving us an understanding of your word and making your word living and real for our people. And Father, I thank you that all the bitterness, all the criticism, all the condemnation, all the guilt, everything else that's negative and contrary according to your word may be gone from people's lives. We hear this teaching this week, and that they'll walk in newness of life with that one mind, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing on toward the upward calling. And I bless them very especially in your name through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless.